Well, happy new year, church family. Great to see you. And if you are a guest, welcome this morning. I pray this place feels like home to you. You're going to get to hear a little bit about our goals for 2026 as we kind of start a new year. It's great to have maybe financial goals or New Year's resolutions for 2026, but I also want to encourage you to have resolutions for your soul, where God would desire for you to grow. And so if you're not connected to a church, if you're not connected to Christ, we'd love for you to do that even today. I invite you as a guest to stick 6 weeks with us, stick 6 weeks to see if this might be a place where God would desire for you to serve or desire for you to connect and to worship him in deeper and richer ways. And so 6 weeks allows you to get to know us, and we get to know you a little bit, so I hope you'll stick with us for 6 weeks. All right, well, today you're going to need two things primarily. One, and the most important, is the Bible. So you can grab that and open it up to Luke 17. Normally what we do is we take one passage and we dive deep into that passage and dissect it. But today we're going to kind of take a very broad approach. I'm actually going to, by the time we finish today, I'm going to take us from Genesis to Revelation, okay? So we're going to cover a lot of the Bible today, and then next week we'll settle in firmly in the book of Acts, and that'll take us actually through the majority of next year. So Luke 17 is where I want us to start today, and you saw in that video that our desire for 2026 is that we would go. But if you've been here at West Cabarrus Church, you know that last year in 2025, our goal was to grow. And you cannot separate the two. If you grow deep love for the Lord and love for others, you will go. You cannot be a cul-de-sac of the gospel. You have to be a conduit to take it to others. And so that's what we're going to see God's heartbeat is from Genesis to Revelation, that he desires for us to go. But at the same time, I don't want us to miss what God did in and through you at West Cabarrus Church last year and look back with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness for what the Lord has done. And that's why I want us to start with this passage in Luke 17. We'll pick up in verse 11 because we're going to see that we need this heart of gratitude as we think about what the Lord has done. So follow along with me as I read Luke 17. We'll pick up in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that was Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go on your way, your faith has made you well." Let's pray together. Good and gracious Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness to us in 2025, and we look forward to experiencing your faithfulness in 2026. Lord, you've grown us in the grace and knowledge of you as our Lord and our Savior. Well, now we ask that you would lean in, and she would lead us to share this good news that has shaped our lives, that has given us hope and comfort and peace, that we would share this with others. Help us to go, Lord. And Lord, we confess we don't know what 2026 will hold. We don't know what it will hold for us personally or what it will hold for us as a church, but we do know that you hold this year in your sovereign hand. And so, Lord, would you lead us? Cultivate us in a heart, in our hearts, a love for you and a love for others, that we would go from our neighborhoods to the nations for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, what I want us to do with the time we have is to do two things. The two things you just did with the time Brandon gave you to pray earlier. I want us to look back with gratitude and to look forward with deep, rich hope. So those are the two things we're going to do. And I mentioned you're going to need your Bible because we're going to look at a number of different passages. But the other thing you're going to need is the vision booklet that you got on the way in. And as we open this book, you're going to see it starts with gratitude for things that happened in 2025. Now, the reason why I read the passage from Luke 17 is because if you slowly walk through Luke 17 and you evaluate that, even search your own heart, you realize what's missing from this passage is a heart of gratitude. 10 people were healed. 10 people, Christ did something amazing in their life. They were sick and Christ healed them. They were terminally ill and Christ moved in a mighty way. And all 10 of them had faith. They heard Christ speak, "You're healed, go to the city, let them examine you to see that your body is healthy." And all 10 of them in faith responded and moved to the city. But only one came back to express gratitude to Christ. 10 had faith, only one had gratitude. And the question we really have to examine in our own heart is, our heart, does it reflect more of the 9 or the 1? I hope that we as a church have a heart of faith, a deep, deep heart of faith in the Lord. But at the same time, I want to have a rich heart of gratitude for what God has done. Prayers that he has answered, ways that he has moved, ways that he has given us comfort and strength and peace. I want us to be able to express both of those things to the Lord. I, as a leader, I have the tendency to just kind of move forward. What's next? Let's go forward. Let's just vision. Let's get a 10-year vision out. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Thinking forward and find myself guilty of the 9, not ever looking back at the goodness of God and what he has done for us. And so a portion of the time this morning, we are spending looking back saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done through your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness to us." We've got it broken up in different sections in here, and I don't have time to read every one of these. Invite you to maybe do that this week and maybe even do it as a Thanksgiving guide to go through this week and as a prayer before the Lord, thanking him for the different things that you'll see in here. But you'll see the first thing is Sunday mornings at West Cabarrus Church. We as a church family worked together to memorize 12 verses this year. That's awesome. And some of you are like, maybe I memorized one. That's one more than you knew the year before, right? You grew. I hope that you memorized all 12. And I even would encourage you to take this year, maybe go back through those and remember. Let them rest in your heart. But this is good that God allowed us to love his word, to hide it in our hearts that we wouldn't sin against him. We spent time to cover the book of 1 John. And this book is about knowing that you are assured in your faith if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And God used the book of 1 John to save people here. We had many people come to the Lord this year as we just opened up God's word like we do each and every week and read it and proclaim those truths. And God did that through 1 John. And we went from 1 John to Ecclesiastes, which can be a very depressing book. And yet the challenge was that we'd grow in wisdom, that we wouldn't waste our lives living for all these temporal things when there was something eternal to be lived for, and how the internal thing actually gives meaning to the temporal things. So we spent time walking through the book of Ecclesiastes and listening to the wisdom of God to our hearts and our lives. We took the fall and into Christmas time growing in our theology. We took time growing in what we believe about the church, what we believe about our finances, what we believe and understand about the gospel, what we believe and understand about Christmas. I mean, these were intentional weeks to say, how do we dive in deep to know and understand these things that God speaks throughout his word? And we faithfully spent time growing in each one of these things. And the goal this last year when it was to grow was not specifically about numbers and attendance. It wasn't. It was about growing in our love and worship for the Lord. But in God's grace, he allowed our physical growth to happen as well as our spiritual growth. We grew in attendance this last year. Our peaks of attendance in 2024 were our averages attendance in 2025. This is God's goodness to us and his kindness. And this is not a pat on my back or our pastor's back or us as a church. This is God's grace upon grace upon grace. As you prayed, as you sought the Lord, as you grew in your love for him. And God didn't just grow us on Sunday mornings. He grew us throughout the week as well. Our small groups grew this last year. We have 18 small groups now. Two of those 18 groups were multiplied this last year out of existing groups in the past. And I want to pause because this is a big deal. We can say that sentence, we had two new groups multiply, but when you feel that, if you've been a part of helping a group multiply so that new people can come in and be a part, it is hard. It's painful. Years ago, I was a discipleship pastor, and one of the things I oversaw was small groups. And it used to, just being real as a pastor, it used to make me mad when I would talk to people, because some people would say, no, we want our group closed. We don't want anybody else a part of our group. It's just kind of like us four and no more. And I got mad about that for a long time, and then I realized, no, I'm not mad about that, because that is that's an eternal desire. An eternal desire for a believer that one day we would have a group of people that we could spend life with that think just like us and believe just like us, and we can just like laugh and do all that. That is what the new heavens and the new earth look like, all right? But now we're on a mission. So it's not a wrong desire, it's just a wrongly timed desire. And I'm telling you, it's hard to multiply groups when you know people and you're friends with them. My wife and I have done it here at the church multiple times, and it's not because we don't like our old group, it's that we just see the need for more to be able to grow in their love for the Lord, to grow in community. And so thank you to the groups that launched out these new groups. Thank you to those that were intentional to go, because it is painful to go, but we are on a mission that we would see more people know the Lord and love him and to have a relationship with him in deeper and richer ways. I'm also excited to see like the different events that we had this last year and what God did through them. I mean, Spring Fest and Easter, that was almost a year ago now, and a lot of times we forgot about what God did through those things. I mean, Spring Fest this year, we had 100 volunteers. 100 of you people that are sitting in these seats now took time to be here to serve that week so that people can invite their neighbors and their friends to come and get a taste of our campus and our community. And to hear the gospel, we shared the gospel with those kids that night. It was a sweet night, and it was possible because you took time to serve. And we were intentional to share the gospel with these families. I know that there are families here whose grandparents brought their kids to Springfest and now have been bringing their kids to the church because of it. Thank you for that. Easter was an amazing time as well, where we baptized. I was close to 10 people, maybe it was 9 people. We baptized on one Sunday morning. On Easter, it was encouraging as a church family just to see people move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, move to the kingdom of despair to the kingdom of hope. God did that. We saw people's lives transformed. I mean, this year we saw more people come to Christ than we ever have in the 7 years that I've been here at the church. We've baptized more people, which is not about the baptism. It's about the life change that God did in their heart and in their life. And we get to just celebrate that as a church. It's encouraging. It's encouraging what God has done. We think back towards the summer at sports camp. Super thankful for the volunteers that took time that week to come. It was blistering hot. And we had 250 kids here on our campus. 250 kids during the summertime. And it's not, again, about the numbers, because you could rally a crowd and have a social club, and it's not a good thing. It could be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a good thing. But we were rallying 250 kids together, and we're sharing the gospel with them each and every day. It's encouraging to see that. And thank you for those that took vacation time to volunteer for sports camp to make that happen. Like, that is a big deal. Some of you took steps of faith to say, I'm going to sacrifice in this way to serve the church and to serve these people. Excited what God has done in our men's and our women's ministry. There's a number of things I could mention right here, but the things that gets me the most excited is that our discipleship groups have grown. These are groups of 2 to 3 people, grouped by guys and girls that meet up regularly each week to encourage one another and to read the Bible together and to pray. It's different than our small groups because it's not a big community. It's 2 to 3 people holding each other accountable as they follow after the Lord. And both the men's ministry and the women's ministry has seen that grow in 2025. I'm excited what God has done in our kids' ministry and our student ministry. It's been growing both physically and spiritually. And I'm thankful to the 110 plus volunteers that serve in our kids' ministry each and every week. It's so good. If I could clone myself, I would be up in that building as well, serving each and every week. You know why? Because the largest population of unbelievers that are on our campus every week are in that building right there. And we get a chance to sow gospel seeds and to teach them the truth. And we pray that as we sow and as we water, that one day God would bring the harvest. And that we'd see some of these kids come and know and trust the Lord and to follow after him faithfully. So thank you to the 110 people who serve to do this week in and week out. We need you. And whether you even see the effects of this or not, you're having an impact on these kids' lives. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to see our student ministry continuing to grow. And we had more than 20 people come to faith this last year. And several of them came from the student ministry as Brendan leads and teaches them the gospel week in and week out. I'm grateful for those volunteers that serve with our student ministry. That might be a little bit harder than our kids' ministry, if we're honest. And we're seeing our leaders grow there and then multiply in that area. And so I'm really, really thankful for that. College ministry. We started up a campus on ministry and on UNC Charlotte's campus. We've been partnering with Lock with Jesus. And it's so, yeah, we can woo for that. I'm super grateful for that. You got this first few rows of college students now. I have prayed for UNC Charlotte for years as a 49er. I went there. I love that place. And the nations are coming there. People are there. And we want to see the gospel go forth on that campus. So these students you see down here, many of them are going to CrossCon, a conference right after church today, where they're going to hear the heartbeat of God for missions again. So I'm grateful for what God has done and Trey and in this college ministry as we continue to focus on UNC Charlotte's campus. I'm thankful for the missions that we've seen this last year. You saw the highlight as we started, where we sent out 6 trips last year with more than 50 people going from neighborhoods to nations. This is amazing what God did through these people that left this church, took time and finances and all this to go. Grateful for that. I'm also excited about what God's going to do next year as we launch out 11 trips for the gospel. We see hopefully more than 130 people go on mission for him. We've also seen 31 families or individuals partner with the ministry of West Cabarrus Church. Incredible to see the people partnering with that and getting connected and growing in their faith and their love for Jesus. And again, this is not for our name's sake. We're all for the Lord. We just sang a song, All Hail King Jesus. And this is what Jesus is doing. This is what Jesus is doing in our church, in you and through you, church. Don't miss it. Don't get so caught up in the day-to-day that you miss what God has done. I truly believe that God has answered prayers that we have prayed in the past that we have forgotten. He has. And may we not miss these things that God is doing and be thankful for it. And the other thing is our finances. Because of your faithful generosity, we were able to meet and exceed our budget for last year. That money that you gave allows us to support 38 missionaries or mission organizations. 38 because of your faithfulness. That doesn't include what we do here at West Cabarrus Church and all these different ministries that I just shared with you. Because of your faithfulness, we're able to do all of these things. I've been encouraged by this. We have had 50 new families or individuals who gave for the very first time last year. That is massive. Massive. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for trusting the Lord with your finances. It's amazing. And then at the end of the year, we had this challenge called Give to Go, that we as a church family would give in a way that would fund and fuel the 2026 vision to go. And our desire, if you're new here, was that we'd raise 80% of the cost for you as a church partner at West Cabarrus Church to be able to go on a mission trip next year. 80% is what our hope was. And for us to be able to cover the cost for 130 of you going on mission trips in 2026, it was going to cost us about $150,000. And I just want to say thank you to those that gave, because we met that goal. We met that $150,000. And yes, we can clap for that. That is okay. Thank you. But we didn't just meet it. We exceeded it. And we didn't just exceed it by a little bit. We raised over $200,000 to this. And so every cent of that is going to be sent, okay? So I told you beforehand, if we raised more than $150,000, we weren't paying more than 80% because we want you to have some skin in the game to go on the mission trip. But that extra $51,000 is going to be for us to bless mission organizations and missionaries that we partner with and support. And so every bit of that you gave is going to go to support our missionaries. So thank you. Thank you for that. I know many of you prayed and sought the Lord through all of this, and it's going to help the gospel go forth in 2026. So praise God for all that he has done in 2025. But let us not get stuck in the past and just say, well, that was great what God did. Let's look forward with hope for what God will do. Because I don't think God's done with us. I don't think God's done with West Cabarrus Church. And so let's, as we go into 2026, let's prayerfully consider how Christ is leading us to go. Let's prayerfully consider how God is leading us to go in 2026. Now, this whole desire to go, I want you to hear this morning, this is not Ryan's heartbeat. Full transparency, if it were up to me, man, us four no more is a much easier model to go. I mean, it's a lot easier just to care for four people as opposed to 400 people. It's just the reality. But God's heartbeat is that the nations would know him and have a relationship with him and love him. So for me to prove this to you, this is the heartbeat of God that we're pursuing and chasing after this year, I want to actually go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and I want you to hear. I want you to hear the heart of God from the Word of God. And then I want you to see the heart of God in the life of Christ. And then I desire for us to consider how we reflect the heart of God in 2026, okay? So first, let's just pause and hear the heart of God from the Word of God. You're gonna see all these passages that I'm gonna reference. They're in your vision book. It's about, I guess, middle of the way through here, and they're all on the right-hand side. So I'm gonna hit several of these and encourage you to even go and read these passages in their context. I'm gonna give it to you briefly this morning, but again, for the sake of time, I'm gonna slowly kind of walk through each one of these in order for us this morning to hear the heart of God to go, that we would go. And it starts all the way back in creation, all the way back in Genesis 1, the first book of the Bible. God creates Adam and Eve, and he blesses them. And God says to them in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's important. Fill the earth. You'll see more about that in a second, but fill the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over it. Over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, I think too often people simplify this just to say, well, this is speaking of procreation. And it is, but it's much, much more than that. God's heartbeat is not that there just be people all around the world and be like, ah, mission accomplished. There's a bunch of people around the world. God's heartbeat is that the earth would be full of worshipers. That the earth will be full of people that know him and have a relationship with him and understand his peace and his grace and his mercy. This is God's desire. I mean, this is before sin had entered into the world. Adam and Eve are walking in the garden with God and talking with God. They're having this relationship with the Lord, and he looks at them and he's like, I want what you have for everyone around the world. So be fruitful and fill the earth with worshipers. Worshipers. Which is why when you fast forward a little bit in the book of Genesis and you get to Genesis 11, that's why Genesis 11 is such a big deal. Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel. And again, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's a story where humanity says, you know what, let's gather together and let's build this skyscraper into the skies, into the heavens. And we're going to kind of build our own kingdom here. And so they gather together and they're doing this, and God sees them and God comes down and confuses them by giving them different languages. And as they get different languages, they kind of break off and they go where? To the entire world with their different languages. Now, as I read that, why in the world does God care so much about skyscrapers and people gathering together? Because, I mean, I went to New York this past year, and man, there's skyscrapers everywhere, and there's tons of people everywhere. And yet God's not coming down to, like, disperse them. So why in the world does God care so much about what happens in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel? Well, because it goes against the grain of his heart. Look at Genesis 11, verse 4. This is why they're building this city. This is why they're building this skyscraper. Let us make a name for ourselves. It's about them. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. The reason why God gave them languages and said, go across to all the areas of the earth, is because they weren't doing it. This cultural mandate, this creation mandate that God had given them in Genesis 1, now the people spit in the face of God. They're like, nope, we're not going around the world. We're not going to do it. We're going to stay right here with our huddle of people, and we're going to live for our name's sake. And God's like, no, you're not. You're going to get dispersed. And this is what God does. You see this happen again in the New Testament. The people of God, the disciples, they're in Jerusalem, and they're like, hey, let's just kind of like sit tight. Let's huddle in here. And we've got a little church here in Jerusalem, and we'll be good. And God's like, no, 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 no. You're supposed to go from neighborhoods to nations. You're supposed to go to the ends of the earth. And so God's like, you're going to do it one way or the other. You can do it painfully or you can do it pleasantly, but Both times people choose it painfully. So God in the book of Acts is like, okay, here comes persecution. Persecution is going to come in and it's going to disperse you across all the nations. So God's people left, they went. Why? Because this is the heartbeat of God. God desires for the earth to be filled with worshipers. Again, you see it in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. You go read the book of Exodus and you get to where God is leading his people out of Egypt. They've been enslaved there and God is leading them out. And in Exodus chapter 7 through chapter 11, you have where these 10 plagues happen. Which, again, let's pause and consider for a second. Why did it take God 10 plagues in order to get his people out? He's the Almighty God. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Like, why in the world did he take 10 plagues to get his people out of Egypt and in towards the Promised Land? Why? Why 10 plagues? Why not just one? Why not just finish on the last one? That was the painful one anyway. Let's just finish there, get the people out. Or even better, why not do what you did in the Exodus from Babylon, where you had a man that came to the king of Babylon and says, hey, God's people actually kind of want to go back and worship and build a temple and walls. And the king was like, that sounds fabulous. Go ahead, take all the people. You know what, here's some money too. Take some money and go. That's what God did the second time. Why didn't he do that the first? If you go read the book of Exodus, what you'll see over and over and over again is this statement, that they shall know that I am the Lord. God is doing that so the Egyptians would know he's the Lord. And the good news about it is you find out later that as they leave in Exodus 12, there's a mixed multitude of people that leave with the Israelites. There were some Egyptians that saw what God did, believed, and followed. It's just reality. Then you find out later that God saved people like Rahab in the book of Joshua. I mean, he's reaching the nations. There are many other passages that highlight this, but let's just jump to the prophets. Specifically Isaiah. This is a guy who was preaching to the Israelites, preaching some hard messages, some received, some not received. He was actually martyred for this. And while he's out there and he's preaching and proclaiming the good news, the hope of the Messiah, God comes to him and he tells him in Isaiah 49, verse 6, God says, Isaiah, it is too light of a thing. Or some translations say, it's too small of a thing. You should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation, what? May reach to the ends of the earth. God says, it's too small that I only care about the Hebrews, that I only want the Hebrews to know me and have a relationship with me. That's too small. I'm a much, much bigger God than that. So Isaiah, what you're going to do is through the proclamation of the gospel, you're going to be a light to the nations, that his salvation would go to the ends of the earth. Let's jump forward again. You get to the New Testament. You get to something called the Great Commission. This is Jesus' last command before he ascended and went back to heaven. And in this passage, in Matthew 28, this is where we get our mission statement as a church from. We as a church, we exist to glorify God by making more and better disciples from neighborhoods to nations. That is built on this command from Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus commands and says, go therefore and make disciples. Where? Of all nations. Not just in your neighborhoods, not just where you're comfortable, but in all nations. And here's the glory of all this. The Bible ends in the book of Revelation showing us a glimpse of the fulfillment of this. What will be one day that Jesus commanded will come to pass. And you get to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John, the author of Revelation, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this and said, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from every tribe, from peoples and languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb. The Lamb is the one who was slain. That's Jesus. They're there worshiping him and praising him. Where? From all nations and all tribes and all peoples. And so when there are unreached people groups around the world, we have hope knowing that at least one of them will be before the throne of God. We can move forward in sharing the gospel with people knowing that God is going to save. He's going to do it. He's promised us. He showed us this glimpse of what the new heavens and the new earth hold. Oh, do we hear? Do you hear the heartbeat of God from Genesis to Revelation? for the nations? We would go? If not, if you don't hear it, would you at least see the heartbeat of God in the life of Christ? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus is there, and it says that he saw the crowds. He saw the crowds. He saw the multitudes of people. And he had compassion for them. Jesus sees those who are in need and who are hurting, and he has compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful. It's plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Do you see the heartbeat of God through the life of Jesus? Jesus looks out at this multitude of people and he sees them hurting, struggling with sin, like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus has compassion on them. And he turns to his disciples and he's like, "Hey, you're following me? Seek them." And he says, pray that God would raise up people who would go to help these people who don't have hope. And the irony behind this is, if you keep reading in Matthew, he tells the disciples, pray that more people would go. And then the next chapter, what you find is that the disciples are the ones who go. They're the answers to the prayers. And Jesus is saying, pray that more people would go. And it doesn't say into our harvest. Matthew 9 doesn't say into West Cabarrus Church's harvest. No, it says to his harvest. God desires to save. This is his heart. God desires for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. And my translation of what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 9 is that the world is far more willing to hear the gospel than we are to share it. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Well, let's go. Let's go for the gospel. So God tells us in his word that we as pastors are meant to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so one of the things we do as a church is we want to equip you to live on mission for him. And as I talk about these different things, this is meant to equip you in order for you to go. And so in this book, if you turn to the next page, you'll see three main objectives that we have this year. One is to be equipped for the mission. And one of the ways we're going to equip you for the mission is by faithfully doing what God called us to do week in and week out on Sunday morning. This is not a show. It's not a performance. This is for us to gather together to lift our voices loud in thanksgiving and praise for the one who saved us. So each and every Sunday morning, we're gathering together to worship and to praise Jesus. So we're going to continue to do that until the Lord comes again. And the way that we're going to do that this coming up year, the kind of foundation of it, is we're going to preach through primarily two books. I know many of you love the kind of short 3 to 4 week series that we did this last fall. We'll do that again at some point. It's just not 2026. 2026, we're going to settle in two books, the book of Acts and the book of Daniel. So if you want to go ahead and just start reading those, get a head start, go ahead. Now, the reason why we choose Acts and Daniel is because this year on Go, these books hit that right on the bullseye. The book of Acts is about the early church starting and taking the gospel from their neighborhood to the nations. So as you go through the book of Acts, what you'll see is time and time again, the gospel going forth, people believing and the church forming and growing over and over again. And one of the things we'll get to that I love is in the book of Acts, there's a couple times where missionaries show up on the scene, people have been kind of launched out for the church, and they're like, "Hey, we're here to tell you about Jesus." And they're like, "Hey, we already know about Jesus, because some people came in the past and they told us about it." We don't know who those people were. They were probably like people that sold different things and went from city to city, but they knew Jesus. And in their everyday life, as they were going, they were sharing the gospel. So as these missionaries show up to tell them about Jesus, like, "Yeah, we've already heard about this guy, Jesus. Yeah, these other people told us in the past." It doesn't mean pastors necessarily have to go. We all go. We're all called to go for Christ. And so we're going to preach through the book of Acts. The book of Daniel, the reason why we choose that book is because I'm entitling the series Evangelism as Exiles. Some of you feel like the people felt in the book of Daniel. You feel like you're the minority. Nobody believes what you believe. Nobody trusts in this God. Nobody prays to this God. And what you find in the book of Daniel is the people of God living as the minority, but being the bright light in the midst of the darkness. And so Daniel shows us, how do we live? How do we live in a way that goes, even when we're the minority, even when we feel like we're the exiles in the group? So those are the two main books that we're going to cover this next year. And then you'll see we're going to equip you through winter classes and summer classes. I hope you'll take advantage of these things. I really do. And you'll see the titles on each one of these is evangelism on mission, theology on mission, discipleship on mission, mission in the workplace. And some of you are going to hear that and be like, I don't want to go on a mission trip. Oh my gosh, if I sign up for finances on mission, I'm going to go on some kind of financial mission trip. No. This is having intentionality with your finances, with how you spend your time, what your workplace looks like. How do you live intentionally and be equipped to just be a light, to not be awkward in the workplace, but to respond in love and care? How do you look at your finances and steward them in a way that saves money well, that gives to charity? I mean, the man who's leading that, Daniel Ford, I mean, he's a whiz on finances, knows more than I will ever learn in my life. And he's like, Ryan, there's so much money that we could be giving to nonprofits legally and not even realizing that it's not even coming out of our budget, just giving faithfully. I mean, this class is going to show us how we manage money to the glory of God. That's what the mission is. How do we glorify God? Our theology on mission. This isn't only missions of theology. We read the Bible and we hear the heartbeat of God and it stirs our hearts to live on mission for Him. Marriage on mission, parenting on mission, all of these things. Motherhood on mission. I hope that you'll take advantage of these to equip you to go in 2026. Turn the page one more time here. Actually, a couple more times. I want you to live on mission. I want you to live on mission. One of the things that you'll hear me say probably multiple times this year is I'm not asking for more and more of your time. I'm just asking you to be intentional with your time. I'm not asking for addition. I'm asking for intersection in your life. So if you're a soccer mom, be a soccer mom to the glory of God and be intentional to pray for those other people on the team. Look for opportunities to share the gospel. If you're a businessman that travels a lot, do your business rightly before the Lord. Be an honest person. Serve the Lord and look for open doors to be a light in these different areas. I'm not calling us to be monks this year. I'm calling us to be intentional to live with intentionality in our lives on mission for Jesus as it intersects our lives. We use that time wisely. And so one of the challenges you're going to hear today and also throughout this year that I would have before you is, who are your three? Three people that you want to love, that you want to pray for, that you want to care for this year that don't know Jesus, that are far from God. Is there a family member that you know doesn't know the Lord? Would you say, this is the year I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to lean in more than normal. Is there a friend that you know that doesn't have hope in Jesus Christ? Would you pray for them? Would you be intentional to share with them? Is there a coworker that you know doesn't know Jesus? Would you live on mission this year to say, I want to pray for them. I want to pray for them. I want to share the gospel with them. But listen to me. This is not looking at people as a project. It's not what I'm asking you to do. Please don't do that. Apostle Paul says, I was ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also my very life. That's what Paul said. That's what I'm asking you to do. Intersection again. Live your life. Live your life with people. Love them and care for them. Pray for them. And hopefully they come to know the Lord and trust the Lord. But even if they don't come to know the Lord, it still doesn't mean that you should treat them any different. God called us to love them because He loves them. So would you be intentional to personally go? And there's several things that are just kind of opportunities for you to invite people to here at West Cabarrus Church where they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to see the community of Christ here in a real and rich way. So you have your several dates on here, the Good Friday service, which has been sweet each and every year for us to think about the cross, but also the hope of the resurrection to come. Easter service on April last year. It's in April most years, not every year, so I have to put the date on here. April 5th this year, it's towards the beginning of April. This is a great time to invite people to come, and they're going to hear the good news of Jesus. Sports camp again, 250 kids last year. I don't know if we're going to be able to house more than that this year, but this is a great opportunity where you know that these families are going to come in here, their kids and them are going to get to hear the gospel. We've invited families in the past, they're like, what are you teaching? Sit in here and listen. We'd love for you to take part. We're not hiding anything from you or your kids. Just take part. We've got the Missions Focus Week where we had nations from all over the place come here and hear the gospel last year with Missions Focus. And I know this just happened, but Christmas Eve is coming again in 2026. And so that's a great time to be able to invite people to come and to hear the gospel and just be a part of the what we do around here at West Greer's Church. Maybe a time that they're more open to for an invite. Somebody you've prayed for all year. They would come and be a part of church here at Christmas Eve. And then, that's the neighborhood side of things. Then we want you to go to the nations as well. So if you turn the page, you're going to see all of our mission trips that are scheduled in 2026. And I hope that you will sign up to go to these. It's never going to get any easier. It's never going to get any cheaper. 80% of it's already covered because the people around you gave. So you can look to your left and right and say, thank you for giving so that I can go this year, okay? But every one of these are opportunities for you to sign up and to go on mission around the world, around the world. And I hope you'll take advantage of these because we desire to see, like I said, more people ever sent out of our church this year to go on these things. So look through these, find out where God would desire for you to go this year. Now, as we close, I know that I'm primarily speaking to believers this morning, people that have come to West Greer's Church. And maybe you're here and you're like, this is my New Year's resolution. I'm just trying the church thing out. Awesome. You have perfect attendance in 2026. For the whole year of 2026, perfect attendance. I'm glad you're here. But as you hear these things, I hope, and my prayer this week has been that you would be encouraged, knowing that God is pursuing you. 1 Timothy tells us, again, the heartbeat of God. God says that he desires for all people to be saved. That's what 1 Timothy tells us. God desires for all to be saved. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ, that includes you. You're a part of the all. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That whoever includes you and it includes me. And so I want you to hear from me today that I hope that you would come to know the Lord, that you would trust him, that you would follow him, that this year would be the year that, yes, you come to know the Lord, and then you are sent by the Lord as you go on mission for him. But Christ has already come for you. Now, for believers, I want us to end with two things. There's a quote earlier in the book, it's about middle of the way through, from Charles Spurgeon. I want you to look at that because this is what I want our heartbeat to be as a church. This quote from Charles Spurgeon says that if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for. May that be our heartbeat. Some people will reject Christ and never choose to follow him, but may it not be because they were not warned or not prayed for. That we didn't share the gospel, that they would have to leap over us preaching the gospel message to them to run from Christ. May this be our heartbeat in 2026. May this be our purpose, that we'd say, yes, we will go. Yes, we will serve. Yes, we will give. We will take the gospel from neighborhoods to nations. May this be our heartbeat and our desire. Now, this is something that God has done in the church. Charles Spurgeon's in the past, Matthew Henry, in the past, God has been stirring people's hearts to go because it's his heartbeat. So this prayer that you find here at the very back by Matthew Henry, I want us to close and pray for us as a church today. Because God is the God that's moving in the past, he's moving today, and he's moving in the days ahead. And so would you echo in your heart while I pray to the Lord this prayer that you see in this passage. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, let the people praise you. Let all the people praise you. Let your salvation and your righteousness be openly shown in the sight of the lost. And let all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. Let all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of the Lord. Let the gospel be preached to every creature. For how shall men believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preachers? And how shall we preach except we be sent? And who shall send forth laborers but the Lord of the harvest? Let the earth be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen and amen. Church, let's stand now and let's sing to that King.